Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Forrest Lensing.
Dr. Forrest Lensing is a neuroradiologist in Denver, Colorado, and is affiliated with St. Anthony Hospital at Lakewood. Thank you for your time, and let's jump right into the questions. So when you were in high school, did you know that you wanted to go into medicine? If not, what were the different factors that played a role in that decision? Were there some people that affected that or any like quote unquote life-changing experiences?
Yeah. So, I mean, my dad is a doctor, still practicing. So I had that as an influence early on, and I kind of always knew in the back of my mind, I wanted to be a doctor. And I sort of went into, I think I went into college thinking that, but with leaving my options open when I got there. Other than my dad, I guess I have an uncle who's a radiologist. I didn't really know at the time what a radiologist was, so that wasn't a huge influence on me. I would say it was more my dad who influenced me to become a doctor from a pretty early age.
How did you decide which major you wanted to do in college? And did that continue or play a role in, like, did you decide that based on like wanting to do medicine, or was your major just something that you did like in the moment?
Yes, I guess my path took a few zigs and zags in college. I went to one school straight out of high school, and then transferred to another school, and ended up at the end of college, I ended up with a degree in economics. Again, sort of like I knew going in that I probably wanted to be in medicine, but when I transferred schools, there were a lot of people around me that were going into finance, particularly investment banking. I went to school in New York, so there was a lot of that. But at the same time, the job market for investment bankers was kind of crashing. And luckily, you know, I had taken all the prerequisites that I needed for medical school. And I think, you know, I'm probably a lot happier that I went into medicine than investment banking. But I chose the major mainly because I was interested in economics. I enjoy thinking about economics, but also knowing that if I went into medicine, I'd want to do something else because I'd be doing biology and biochemistry the next 4 years. So I wanted to make sure I got something else under my belt while I was in college.
Do you suggest that sort of like route, like if someone knows that they want to go into medicine, them taking some sort of unrelated to get like interested?
I mean, I think it makes you a more interesting person. You know, college is one of those times, it's like one of the most important times in your life where you can pack a great deal of learning and knowledge into those 4 years. And I mean, I think I'd be a very different, less interesting person than I am if I had just taken, you know, biology and biochemistry classes and majored, you know, in biology or something like that. You know, I took all kinds of different classes, economic history of the United States, like Latin American studies, that sort of thing. It was a very broad liberal arts college or liberal arts kind of college experience. And I actually did kind of the minimum I had to do to get into medical school. So I would definitely recommend it. And it doesn't hurt on your med school applications either, because they've got plenty of biology majors coming in, but they don't have a ton of economics majors.
Could you talk a little bit about your journey after undergraduate to currently to where you are today?
Yes. After I graduated college, I came back to Dallas to go to medical school at UT Southwestern and spent 4 years there, back in my hometown. And medical school is sort of one of these, it's an interesting setup in that you can try a whole bunch of different things when you're there. So your third and fourth year, you go through what are called rotations in medical school. And each one of those rotations is a different specialty in medicine. So your internal medicine, your surgery, your psychiatry, family practice, you know, ENT, whatever. So you kind of get to try before you buy it. And at the end of medical school, your fourth year, you apply to whichever residency, which is the next phase of your training that you want to make into your career. And you apply sort of across the country. And so that's what I did. I'd settled on radiology after, you know, going through all the rotations in medical school, and kind of applied across the nation. Ended up, another funny thing about medical school is you don't really get to choose where you go. You sort of rank your list of where you want to go, and then they rank their list of you, and some computer algorithm spits out where you end up. So on March 15th or whatever the day is, you kind of learn what the next 4 or 5 years of your life are going to look like. So that was sort of the next step. So once I knew I was going to do a radiology residency in Dallas, I spent the next 5 years in Dallas doing residency in radiology. So that's, you know, you just all day, every day learning radiology. And then after that, just when you think the training couldn't get longer, you do what's called a fellowship. And so I spent the next 2 years after that at a training program in Salt Lake City doing a neuroradiology fellowship, which is brain and spine imaging is kind of my specialty.
Could you talk a little bit about just generally like what radiology, the field is, and then also like your daily responsibilities, maybe typical work hours or like work schedules, certain like tasks that you have to do in the day, or just like a general like job overview?
Yeah, it's kind of a joke even amongst, even with my kids, that I'm not a real doctor. Many people don't know what a radiologist does. I think I like shoot radiation beams at people and cure their cancer. But the truth of the matter is, I look at medical images and interpret them. So a radiologist, anytime you go to the, you know, the emergency room and you've hurt your leg and they take an x-ray, I'm the guy on the other end of the x-ray looking at it, seeing if it's broken or not, telling the ER doc, you know, what's going on. And so that's x-ray, ultrasound, MRI, CAT scans. We do what's called nuclear medicine, which is imaging with radioactive isotopes, and kind of a handful of other things, little procedures that use image guidance as well. And so, yeah, so that's what a day looks like for me. Is I sit in a dark room and images get beamed to me from different hospitals or wherever I'm sitting. And I go through the images and I generate a report. And a lot of the time I'll have a conversation with the doctors who are taking care of the patient and say, this is what I think is going on. This is how this is typically managed. This is, you know, what we need to do. And we kind of formulate a plan for what's going on with the patient. The funny thing is I very, very rarely see patients. In that sense, it's a little bit unusual for a doctor. My hours kind of all over the place. I've worked every hour of every day throughout, you know, different parts of my career. So there have been times where I've worked, you know, an 8 to 5, like, you know, most people, but I'd say in the current situation, probably, you know, once or twice a week, I'll be working late into the evening till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I've gone through little stints where I've worked overnight. So from, you know, 10 p.m. till 7 a.m. in the morning, the late shift or the overnight shift. But generally, I would say my hours are mostly daytime with the occasional night and weekend thrown in there.
You mentioned the part about like you don't very often see patients. Is that something that you enjoy or don't enjoy? Or do you think like that's one criteria that you took into consideration when settling into radiology?
I mean, not that I don't like seeing patients, because I think most people don't go to medical school if they don't like seeing patients. But radiology sort of scratched an intellectual itch that I kind of needed to scratch. And what I mean by that is radiologists have to know a little bit about everything. I've got to know a little bit about internal medicine. I've got to know a little bit about surgery. I've got to know a little bit about, you know, anatomy and physiology and all that. And you use that information kind of on a daily basis. And that's sort of what really appealed to me about radiology. Now, there are other fields of medicine where, sure, that's the case. But I don't know that there's one that requires such a broad breadth of knowledge about different aspects of medicine as radiology. That's a long-winded way of saying, I don't mind not seeing patients.
So you kind of touched on like what one of your most favorite aspects of your job is, with like being able to delve into different fields of medicine. So what is one aspect of your work that you don't enjoy, or what are some of the challenges in this profession?
Well, I mean, I wish it were not a 24/7 gig. The scheduling can be challenging for sure. Just, I'm sure you know, like the hospital never goes to sleep. And when you're covering, you know, multiple hospitals throughout a metro area, you know, patients come in all times of the night, and it can make, you know, we sort of touched on work-life balance a little bit ago. It can make that aspect a bit challenging. I'm in a partnership and we try to mitigate some of that by giving ourselves a little bit more time off, but it can be tricky to navigate scheduling when you're working kind of these erratic hours.
You also mentioned like partnership. Could you talk a little bit about like the different ways that you could set up a practice, like within maybe with a hospital or like just your own private practice? Like what are the different?
Yeah. So there's probably three or four different ways to structure it that are, you know, the most common. My practice is a group of say 30 or 35 radiologists. Everybody has sort of an equal vote in the organization and everybody's treated equally. It's very democratic, sometimes a little too democratic, but that's sort of the way it is. So we all get the same amount of time off. We all get paid about the same amount of money, and we all, but the flip side of that is when somebody's out sick or when somebody needs coverage, you know, one of us kind of has to step up and do it. So there's no just like, I want to take PTO today. The second, one of the more common structures would be in like academia. Universities have radiology departments. So, you know, UT Southwestern in Dallas or here, UC Health, they have their own radiology department. So you're employed by the university system. And that comes with, you know, its own set of responsibilities. So some of those folks have to publish papers. They have to do research in addition to their clinical responsibilities. Another setup would be like a sort of hospital, a private hospital employed radiologist. So the hospital, which is not a university, would just pay the radiologist, employ them. And there's a handful of other ways to do it. Federal Veterans Administration employs radiologists, that sort of thing.
And have you ever considered like switching to one of these other like modes of practice, or maybe like going to academia?
I really did enjoy academics. My 2 years of fellowship in Utah sort of turned on my academic antennas. So I published a few papers and I really enjoyed it. But I think I knew all along that I didn't want to be fully in that system. And I don't think at this point, having been in practice for, you know, 8 or so years, it'd be really challenging for me to break back into academics and sort of re-enter the publishing world and those things. They're just hard habits to start back up.
Could you talk a little bit about some skills, like not technical skills, that are useful in your job, like maybe interpersonal or just other skills like you use every day in your job?
Sure. Yeah. First and foremost, you have to be a good doctor to be a radiologist. I mean, most doctors have to have strong interpersonal skills. I mean, that's just part of the job. So I deal kind of every day with not just other doctors, but technologists who actually take the pictures, things I thought I wouldn't deal with, which, you know, my partners have to navigate different personalities in my partnership. And, you know, we're a self-governed operation. So, you know, my economics background comes in a little bit of handy here in that I'm a little bit better with the numbers than some of the other folks, but we, you know, we review all our own finances. We, as I said, we sort of govern ourselves. So I think some of those things that you don't necessarily know would come in handy when you're in college or medical school do come in handy later on down the road. But it's a very collaborative profession. So, you know, people who are natural introverts do okay in it, but maybe not as well as somebody who relates well to other people.
The next couple of questions are sort of like offshoots of each other. So
sure.
The first is like, if you could give, like, what's your best advice that you would give to someone in their junior or senior year in school? About like either choosing careers or maybe specifically about medicine. And then sort of the offshoots off of that is like, are there any experiences or practices or habits you would suggest that people either in college or med school that they developed that you found really useful?
The best advice I can give a junior or senior in high school, study hard and I would say let the current take you where it will. Because I think in college, you have a fantastic opportunity to explore a whole bunch of different things. So rather than zeroing in on something, you know, your freshman year, I would say take a handful of classes that don't necessarily relate to each other, but are interesting to you and could open up doors that you might necessarily not have thought about. Because if you start off in college and you say biology, chemistry, physics, you know, biochemistry all the way through, it's just going to be really boring. And I think it probably closes off some opportunities that you might have otherwise had. Sorry, I forgot the second question.
So any experiences, habits, or practices that you would suggest for students in med school or beyond?
Yeah, high school and college are kind of a great way to form good habits. And I mean, particularly for studying, you know, it becomes, the further down the road you get, the harder or the greater volume of information you have to digest. It doesn't necessarily get easy. So if you make those habits a priority early on, you know, studying hard, developing good planning and sticking to a plan, I think those are important things that will hold you in good stead as you go through, if you decide to go through medical school or whatever else.
So that's a great point. The next question I have is not really related as much to careers, but it's just about like the future of the industry as a whole. So with the advent of like different technologies that can sort of do like radiology automatically through whatever like computer software, how do you see this industry and medicine as a whole changing in the future?
I mean, that's a great question. I was wondering if you'd give me the AI question, because that's radiology always gets trotted out there as the first one to go. I personally am not super worried about it in the short to intermediate term. I think they've got a long way to go before there's a meaningful replacement of human radiologists by computers. I'm not an AI researcher, so I don't know if it's a more complex problem than driving a car, but I suspect it's a simpler problem than driving a car. But you know, it's the same sort of thing where you're putting your life, your family's life, or their livelihood in the hands of a machine. And that's a big line that I think a lot of folks are hesitant to cross. I think more likely in the near to intermediate term future, we will, and we do already have some tools that will make radiologists' jobs easier in that they are able to, you know, recognize patterns that in a way that a radiologist just couldn't, because they can do so many more computations in their head, you know, per second, but they will be able to flag those patterns for radiologists to review. And I think that's the more likely scenario, that a radiologist will be assisted by these AIs than replaced. And I just hope I'm retired by the time they replace me with machines.
Could you talk a little bit about the different continuing education requirements in medicine and specifically for radiology?
Sure. Yeah. It kind of never ends. You go through 4 years of medical school, however many years of residency, it's usually 3 to 5 years of residency. And then I did, you know, 2 years of fellowship. So I didn't get my first job until I was, you know, 33 or 34 years old, first real job. But then in order to satisfy all the licensing boards and, you know, really to keep you abreast of what's going on in medicine, you do have to complete a pretty high number of what they call CME or continuing medical education hours each year, usually about 20 to 25 to 50 hours per year, depending on the state. And so I try to satisfy that through reading journals and taking online quizzes. They do offer meetings online and in person that you can go to and kind of rack up those continuing education hours. But really the purpose is to not fall behind on what's new in the field, which is easy to do if you sort of fall into your habits.
Without going into specifics, how does compensation look in the different types of practices that you mentioned so far, like in a hospital or academic? Sure. Or outside that?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the board. And I think it depends where you are in the country and what the individual markets are like. But broadly speaking, private practice, like I'm in, tends to be the most well compensated, with kind of academics somewhat below that, and then like a federal job below that. That's very broadly speaking, and certainly not in any kind of rule, if that makes any sense.
The next question I had was sort of continuing off of the earlier like advice thing about med school or high school. So what are some suggestions you would give for someone that's like graduated from med school fellowship internship and now is like looking for a job to get that job? Is it like hard to obtain a job in radiology, or what are some like practices that might help with that?
Yeah, it's funny, because when I came out of fellowship and got my first job, there were no radiology jobs. And for some reason right now, you can have whatever radiology job you want. And I don't fully understand the market forces that are at work, but it's very dependent on what's going on in the economy. It's very dependent on what individual practices' needs are, and sort of very dependent on the healthcare system at large. As you probably know, we just went through, you know, 2 years of COVID, and there was a time where, you know, we didn't need very many radiologists because not a lot was getting done in the hospitals. So I would say that the vast majority of radiology jobs are gotten by word of mouth rather than sort of cold calling practices. It's a pretty small world. Once you get to that level, I don't know how many radiologists graduate per year in the US, but it's probably somewhere in the range of, I would guess, I don't know, 1,000 or something like that. So you can imagine it's not a terrible number of people. So try to make friends, you know, because you never know when you're going to need a job from somebody that you trained with or interact with along the way. You always want to be as congenial as possible. And I think that's your best bet.
That's a great point that not only applies like in the job field, but just in general.
Right.
The last question I have is, do you have any final thoughts or comments to share before we end this podcast?
You know, when I was thinking about this, getting on with you, I think there are a lot of folks out there who sort of dog on medicine. It can be a stressful job. It's hard work. We work hard, and some folks think that we're overcompensated. But at the end of the day, you know, most of us are in it to help patients, and for me, help my fellow colleagues kind of work their way through, you know, complex medical puzzles. So it's still a super fulfilling field. If I had to do it over again, I'd probably do it the same way, even though sometimes it means, you know, I don't get to hang out with my kids at night. But it's a very personally fulfilling field, and I would encourage anybody that has any kind of interest in it to give it a serious look.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out pathfinder101.com for more information like this. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.